Friday was the two-thirds mark of the annual 90-day legislative session. Philosophical differences between members of the House and Senate are raising the risk that the legislature ends the session without resolving the state's ongoing budget crisis. But fiscal experts maintain some optimism that lawmakers will be able to bridge the divide. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Both legislative chambers have proposed cuts to the budget. The House passed a budget Monday that cuts $32 million from this year's state budget, and the Senate is currently weighing $184 million in cuts, in addition to up to $60 million in cuts to education. But neither side's cuts would put much of a dent in the nearly $3 billion gap between what the state spends and what it raises in oil royalties, taxes, and fees. To close that gap, most lawmakers and policy experts agree that the state must draw from permanent fund earnings to shore up the budget for the first time. Most proposals would also reduce permanent fund dividends. But differences between the mostly Democratic House majority and the mostly Republican Senate majority are proving to be a stumbling block to a deal. That's according to Cliff Groh. He's the chairman of the nonpartisan policy organization Alaska Common Ground.
In the Alaska State Legislature, as in Congress, and generally around the United States of America, over the past few decades, there has been a decline in dealmakers and a rise in ideologues.
The House majority wants to package a draw from permanent fund earnings with an income tax, while the Senate wants deeper cuts to the budget first. The Senate passed its permanent fund bill while the House is still discussing its bill. Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki pointed to a projection from the nonpartisan Legislative Finance Division that found the Senate bill would close 95% of the gap in 6 years if the state kept spending flat. Reducing oil tax credits may be more likely to become law than an income tax. Michicki says oil revenue from newly discovered oil could also help close the budget gap.
If we get an uptick of a few dollars on the price of oil or one of those fields come online, we're balanced. And the Senate is willing to talk about other legislation that will help in that way as well. But if we don't see what we need to see coming across the finish line from the House, we have legislation waiting that will be heading the other way.
House members say the focus on spending reductions has begun to threaten the state's economy. Nome Democrat Neil Foster says deep cuts over the past 3 years make it more difficult to find more reductions.
The question is, how deeply do we want to continue to make cuts? And, you know, I think that at this point we've cut a lot of the fat out. There's not a lot of room left. Further cuts will be, you know, I think cuts to the bone.
Senate leaders don't want an income tax to be part of the permanent fund bill. They say combining them could violate legislative rules that require bills to be on a single subject. Eagle River Republican Senator Anna McKinnon has qualms with the House approach.
We have a lot of folks in new positions that are, from my perspective, trying political maneuvers that they believe can accomplish what they want, but over the course of time, at least how I've worked, is the less cute stuff that you're trying to do, the less political maneuvering, the better it is for clarity for everybody.
On the House side, Homer Republican Representative Paul Seaton rejects the argument. He notes that legal experts have already okayed the House bill. But Seaton says the House will look to areas like oil taxes if the Senate won't budge.
It's a little disappointing listening to the Senate talk about not really wanting to consider a broad-based tax, an income tax. And so we might have to be looking at increasing the tax rates there somewhat over what the Resources Committee did.
One person who is optimistic about progress this session is Revenue Commissioner Randall Hoffbeck. As Governor Bill Walker's point person with the legislature on finding a fiscal solution, Hoffbeck is encouraged.
The most positive thing is that there isn't any real debate anymore about using permanent fund earnings as part of the solution. I think everybody pretty much agrees that has to occur. And it's really just a matter of how.
Hoffbeck says getting 95% of the way there only through changes to the permanent fund isn't enough. But while Walker wants a plan that has a balanced effect on Alaskans of different incomes, Hoffbeck says reaching a sustainable plan is most critical.
I think the key is going to be a fiscal plan that works. Certainly balance is important, but I don't think it's going to be the absolute that needs to be met. You know, for instance, if somebody decided to substitute a sales tax for an income tax, I think some people will argue that's not as balanced, and it wouldn't be. But if it gets us to a full fiscal solution, I think that would be acceptable.
Cliff Gross says a combination of public pressure, Walker's involvement, and the desire from some legislative leaders to make a deal could help bridge the remaining divide. But next year's election makes the political calculations difficult.
The closer we get to the gubernatorial election, the more you're going to have more posturing and maneuvering that is based on political calculations for people's personal advantages.
The Senate Finance Committee is discussing the budget this week, while the House Finance Committee is focusing on the oil and gas tax credit bill. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.